The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. If you're not already a subscriber to the series, what are you waiting on? Hit that subscribe button right now. We put out interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Would love to keep you up to date on all of those. Of course, you can do that anywhere you get your favorite podcast from, like iTunes and Apple Podcast and Spotify and YouTube. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Ben Jaffe of the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. They have just released a new album called A Tuba to Cuba. It's a soundtrack of sorts. I mean, it's an album, but it's also tied into a documentary by the same name, A Tuba to Cuba, that Danny Clinch and T.G. Harrington are a part of. So we'll be talking about how the two have worked together and where the whole concept and idea stem from, tracing back to a trip they took to Cuba back in 2015. Now, of course, when you're talking about Cuba, you're going to end up talking a little bit about politics, and we'll be doing that as well. What that meant to the overall project and how it affected even just their time in the collaborations. We'll talk about that relationship between Cuban music and New Orleans jazz, how both of them do look to the past and have, you know, the sounds rooted in the past, but are always looking to push the music forward. And we'll also get an update on what the Prez Hall Jazz Band has been doing with their Midnight Preserves. As Ben will tell you, it's something that started some years ago and got notoriety with a collaboration with My Morning Jacket and Jim James. They're still doing them, and I'm wondering if they're going to put out another record with those collaborations again. Talking about A Tuba to Cuba, it's Kyle Meredith with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. I want to say, you know, I'm glad to hear that we're going to have you back in town September 20th at Bourbon and Beyond, so it's always great to have you here in Louisville, especially behind such a cool project, A Tuba to Cuba. This album, this soundtrack, whatever you want to call it, it's one of the most refreshing and cool records that I've heard all year, so congratulations on that.
Oh, man, thank you so much. I mean, everybody, people, we were out at the Rolling Stones last night at the Superdome, and it was just so nice. Like, the whole band went out, and it was just so great. Everybody was coming up to us and thanking us, and there's just been this, like, this excitement. Because people, you know, it's like when your home team wins, you know, like, you it makes everybody happy, yeah. You know what I mean? And it's a great thing to be a part of. It's really special.
Well, let's get the story on this right here. Yeah. So there's a documentary that goes along with it, too. And it's all about a trip to Cuba that the Preservation Hall Jazz Band has taken. Did you do it because they wanted to shoot a documentary? Did the documentary come along because you were going? What's the chicken and the egg there?
Yeah, great question. Actually, what happened was we had been trying to get down to Cuba for years, and we had some contacts at a university who were bringing different artists down to Cuba on cultural exchanges. So we've been working on this idea for years, and then the embargo was lifted, and it actually like seemed really plausible that this could really happen. And once it like came into focus that this was going to like really happen, I called a friend of mine and said, you know, hey man, we're going to Cuba. Do you think we should bring a couple cameras with us to just document it? And at the time I was just thinking, let's document it for posterity. You know, let's just have something and put it in the can for future generations to, you know, uncover and, you know, just put it in our archive. And then it quickly went to, well, wait, if we're going to document it, let's document it properly. And let's see if my friend Danny Clinch is available. And suddenly it kind of took on this like life of its own. And that's how it happened. I mean, the documentarians followed the band as we did what we do, you know. And that's what's amazing about it. Like, that's exactly what the Preservation Hall band does whenever we travel.
I mean, Danny Clinch, I mean, we're such fans of him around here. And anytime his name comes up, you know, it's like, oh, this is going to be good. I know this is going to be good.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's been such a close friend of ours. You know, he's like a kindred spirit in many ways. And he's in many ways like this enigma that is like always in the shadows, you know. And he's not only does he document this community of musicians and you know, creatives, but he's also in a lot of ways part of the community of people that help create these like safe places for musicians to journey to. And that's a very rare person who can do that.
I always think it helps that he's a musician himself, like that, you know, that gives him that ability that you're talking about right there, at least helps it out a little bit.
Yeah, he's aware. He knows when the moment's going to happen, you know. He's been around music so long, and because he is a musician, he knows that there's like a moment about to happen. And that's sometimes like one of the hardest things for a photographer or a director who's not like intimate about music. I mean, to give you an example, have you seen this documentary, the Aretha Franklin Amazing Grace documentary? Interestingly, that film was made on film by an incredible director who had very little music experience. So the film is incredible, but after the film was done, they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to sync the music to the video. And they didn't realize that, you know, they needed like, you know, cue sheets and timers, and that the cameras needed. It was, let's just go in there and document everything and then we'll figure it out. So it's one of those things where it's like, if you really, music is such a special thing that even if you can document it, it doesn't always mean that you're a great documenter of music, I guess, mm-hmm. to say, you know. Mm-hmm. And then that can be frightening for a musician. You know, because often sometimes we've worked in situations where the musicians know that the moment's about to happen and the director will say, cut. And you're like, oh, shit, that was the moment that was about to happen.
Yeah.
And you just cut the moment, you know, instead of Danny like sitting back, and he knows when to just sit and be patient and just, he knows that, okay, he sees where the conversation's going. He sees where it's going. There's a moment in the film where our drummer is having a moment in this very intimate environment with a sort of a spiritual priest. And, you know, you have to like allow those moments to just like to just happen, because you're seeing this very exposed moment.
Well, I want to pull back a little bit, you know, as we get into the music here, because as Danny creates these amazing visuals, or is a part of them, capturing these amazing visuals and everything. And then you have this side of it with the soundtrack that's come out, you know, for A Tuba to Cuba. What are the characteristics of Cuban music? Because you hear it all on here, but because as I've heard you talk before, there are similarities with what we hear coming out of New Orleans, but there are obviously some differences that attract you as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, like, New Orleans music isn't like all just Cuban, like an evolution of Cuban music, where, you know, but Cuban music and Spanish traditions have played a very important role in the formation of New Orleans jazz and New Orleans music in general, because, I mean, there was music here in New Orleans before jazz. Mm-hmm. That's something that we understand in New Orleans, and something that they understand in Cuba, actually, you know. they actually understand like the birth of jazz better. It's part of their consciousness. And whereas it's really not part of our collective consciousness. And what I mean by that is that Cuban rhythms, we're finding Cuban rhythms and Cuban, you know, songs and progressions, we're finding their way into New Orleans, you know, since the beginning of New Orleans, which, you know, that's huge. You know, our clarinet player, Charlie Gabriel, always talks about these rhythms that are always present in New Orleans music. And I always heard like this quote growing up from Jelly Roll Morton that said, you know, the thing about New Orleans music is that there's always the presence. There's always the presence of Spain. There's always a Spanish tinge in our music. And there's always something, there's always a Spanish rhythmic, harmonic sensibility there. So you have, you know, these African rhythms and traditions and spiritual traditions, you know, mixing and being influenced by Spain and Cuba and France and Haiti. And that's really where, you know, that's really the birth of jazz. You know, that mixing with some, you know, some of the American marching band traditions of, you know, military marching traditions. And you start, and also the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church, and you start combining all of these things together, and yeah, you get, you know, really one of the very first world musics, which is, you know, New Orleans jazz.
And it's interesting because you've got several sounds represented around this record. I mean, beyond just, you know, the sounds that we would expect to hear from a Cuban record. Like there's a song, and I'm probably going to butcher the name, but Alegua. I mean, that sounds what I think African sounds like.
Yeah, it's an African chant that is sung in the Santeria tradition. And Alegua is a African Yoruban god. And that's, you know, that's part of the tradition. Those are actually some singers that we know who recorded that song. And yeah, it was one of those things when we heard it, we were like, oh my God, this sounds almost like a blues. It almost sounds like a gospel choir singing, you know, but it has this like, it has this chanty rhythmic African and Cuban sort of 6-8 rhythmic pattern as like underlying there. Yeah, it's just a very moving song.
And as for, you know, some of the other parts of it, maybe it's because you start with a track called Yesteryear, but it definitely does sound like a style of music from a bygone era. We hear about parts of Cuba because of the embargo, you know, the old cars and the older buildings and everything. But I also kind of get that feeling from this record, too. Like, it sounds like something I might have heard in Cuba, you know, in the 50s or 60s. And I didn't know if that was something you were reaching for or something that just happened.
It's one of those things that we connected on with Cuban musicians, is there's a timelessness to the music we create. It doesn't sound old to us, you know. I think it sounds old to people because it's played on acoustic instruments, and people just aren't used to hearing acoustic instruments that much anymore. And so, like, as soon as you hear an acoustic instrument, there's something sort of like timeless about it. So it does, you know, in that sense, it sounds old, but it also sounds, you know, very modern to me as well. I think that's one of the beauties of New Orleans music is this idea that it's, you know, very firmly planted in the past, but it's very current. It's very today. It's happening now. You know, that's very important to us, you know. I mean, one of the things about Cuba is it is a bit of a time capsule because of the embargo. And not only is it like a in terms of technology, and you know, the buildings are all sort of like, you know, in a, you know, photograph that was, you know, it's like a postcard that was taken 50 or 60 years ago. And the music's a bit like that too. What we discovered was in Cuba, the modern musicians in Cuba, the rock and roll musicians, the punk musicians, the modern jazz musicians, the avant-garde musicians, the electronic musicians, they all have this like deep regard for their traditional music and for the music of Cuba. And that's something you only find in New Orleans. Like, I don't really know anywhere else. You know, maybe a little bit in Nashville you find that. But in New Orleans, it's everybody here has a reverence for the past and, you know, and for the people who came before us.
And I'll point out, you know, in that sense, too, because the single that comes out, Keep Your Head Up, is exactly the opposite of what I was saying, much more of what you were talking about, you know, at least what I hear. Like, this does sound rooted in the past, but very much of the present and a futuristic sound there. And I also love how, you know, it gives that optimistic nod. Like, I'm sure a lot of, not politics, but what has been happening in the country has played into, you know, how the music sounds like this, as well as your visit. I mean, did it seem like that was sort of the weight that you're carrying behind you through a trip like that, as to, you know, what's going on in the world and how we see Cuba?
Wow. You know, like, where do you even start, right?
Sorry, that probably was a bit broad.
You know, yes, I mean, these are heavy times that we live in, but it's always been heavy times, you know? It's just that, like, it's heavy right now in, like, a different way, and, like, and we're just all trying to figure out how to navigate the world today. And we're all, and I think as musicians, we're all trying to figure out, you know, what is our purpose and what is our role in all of this? And how do we use our music to connect people and to connect dots and to connect energy? You know, that's important to us. That's what we were trying to achieve with this trip is actually visiting like a place that is connected to us, not just, you know, historically, but I mean, you know, there's blood connection there. There's actual physical blood connections that connect all of us. And that's something that we wanted to really understand for ourselves so that we could share that with other people, you know. And that's kind of what we did in that first trip we took, was we began to see, you know, to explore for ourselves this place that we, this sort of mystical, magical place that we had heard about and knew that there was a connection. But, you know, you get there and you're like, oh my God, it's basically us, you know, it's us, but they've had a different history and they have their own problems and they have their own issues and they have their own struggles, you know? And that's true anywhere. I mean, you go anywhere in the world and everybody has struggles. You know, that's something we all share. I mean, we all need to keep our head up about something, you know, and in New Orleans, we have this way of always like seeking the joy in the moment. It's something beautiful about this city that I've really grown to appreciate and love as an adult is our knack and affinity for seeking joy and being able to share it is why we do what we do.
For a place that's so close to us, to have so much mystery, and you know, and I think that's why it's also important what you've all done. Like you said, the first time you gone, have you gone back since that trip? Have you gone back?
Oh yeah, we go back every year, and you know, it's become part of, you know, all the musicians that we met and that we continue to meet. They're all part of us, you know. They again, it's like, think about the Preservation Hall band, or think about how many bands actually come from New Orleans. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. We just had a rehearsal and all the guys had to do was walk over to our studio. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, oh, this one had to fly in from there. We had to coordinate. No, I was like, hey guys, come drive over. That's like really special. You know, that's worth like protecting and that's worth celebrating. And the whole politics are politics and, you know, people are people. And that, you know, one thing that we understand here is that music is beyond politics, you know, because we're talking about human truth and we're talking about human condition. You know, that's bigger than politics.
Well, the joy comes out all throughout the record, and I feel like I could compliment a lot of those on here. One of my favorites, El Manichero. What I love about that is there's so, it feels like there's a lot happening in there with the instruments. It feels so loose, like at any point it could just fall apart, but it never does. You know, it's all there contained.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, interestingly, that was a song that like was like a top sensation in the U.S. years ago. Yeah. I mean, if you look it up, it's very interesting. It was like this pop song that from Cuba that became a hit in the U.S. And because of the connection between New Orleans and Cuba, it was a song that people had always played around New Orleans. So that actual version of it was recorded in, I think, like 1966 originally. And then I remastered it and I added some instruments to it. That's actually me playing banjo on it and bass and drums on it. I just added some instruments to it to kind of fill it out a little bit. It's actually, and it's my dad on there too, playing tuba. So it was really beautiful that this was a track that like a Cuban song that Preservation Hall had recorded in 1966. And then here we are like releasing it again in 2019.
Right.
That's, you know, unbelievable. You know, just, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Life really is cyclical. It's not even like a circle. I've always told people that, like, life is more like a slinky, where it's just like, it's not just one circle. It's like a series of circles that never, like, ends.
I'll pull it into, you know, what I've been noticing, at least you all talking about online and everything, with the Midnight Preserves. Is this a one-time thing, or has that been an ongoing thing?
Well, it's been ongoing. We started it a couple years before Hurricane Katrina, so it's been a part of our DNA for, you know, about 15 years now.
Right.
So it's been going on, but, you know, really the first one that really kind of got on the radar that opened people's, you know, eyes up to it was one that we did with My Morning Jacket, mm-hmm. when we went on tour with them. And when we came back through New Orleans with them to play at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, we made a pit stop at Preservation Hall. And that was the first time that it you know, people really, like, their ears started perking up and they started paying attention and noticing what was going on.
That probably was one of the things, I guess, that led to that first benefit record that came out. What was that, 2010?
The record led to my friendship with Jim. And then the friendship with, you know, then my friendship with Jim led to us going on tour with Jacket. And that the tour with Jacket led to us recording at Preservation Hall. So that was Preservation, friendship with Jim, Preservation, tour with Jacket, and then, you know, playing, you know, Midnight Preserves.
It's always been the great little pipeline with us here in Louisville, and which we all do out there in New Orleans. It's always been fun to watch and hear. And with Jacket, I saw Carl Bramel up there with you guys again, not too long ago. Do you see you compiling another sort of one of those records with all of these on it?
It's one of those things that we did, and, like, nobody does it like us, because it's just so pure and authentic when we do it. It's so very honest. When you hear Preservation Hall, we're not trying to sound like an old band. That's how we naturally sound. We've thought about something like that again in the future. And who knows? I mean, we're just kind of like on this journey, this, like, musical journey where we're discovering ourselves and kind of, you know, realizing that, like, we can take this tradition, you know, kind of wherever we want it to go, as long as we're being sort of true to ourselves and true and honest to the tradition and true and honest to New Orleans, you know. So it's, who knows where it's going to go, really.
Well, I'll use that as the final seg here again to say one part of the places it's going to go is back here in Louisville. September 20th, you guys are going to be back in town for the Bourbon and Beyond Festival. I did notice you're on the same night as the Foo Fighters, and you've played some shows with them. So I'm hopeful that means something special in the air that night.
Gosh, I mean, you know, again, like, very dear friends of ours, people, you know, they're incredible humans and beings. And I, you know, last time they were in New Orleans, we all jammed together. So who knows what's going to happen? You know, I mean, when you get all of us in a room together, it's you just never know.
Well, I'm hoping it's not a missed opportunity. I'm really, really wishing to the universe right here.
Well, thank you.
Ben, it's been a serious pleasure, as always, talking to you again. Congratulations on this Tuba de Cuba album, and I can't wait to hear what's next.
Thank you so much. Great talking with you.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Big thanks, Ben Jaffe, Preservation Hall Jazz Band. The new record is called A Tuba to Cuba, and that documentary is also streaming online. Hey, don't forget, before you get out of here, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. You can do that anywhere you get your favorite podcast from. Again, we put out multiple interviews every single week, so stay up to date by hitting the subscribe button at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Podchaser, anywhere you get your favorite podcast from, where you can also give the series a rating and leave a review or just say hi. And after that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's my new showtime, 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, where I debut new songs, play some clips from some of these interviews, lots of anniversary spins as well, WFPK.org. ConsequenceOfSound.net, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter, at Kyle Meredith, Facebook/Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.